Thank you, John Gakandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, April 26th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The United States ambassador to Zimbabwe holds a meeting with MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai.
Clearly I knew Mr. Tsvangirai when he was a trade unionist and I was here before. So it was good to reconnect. But it was just to learn about what his aspirations were.
The Zimbabwe International Trade Fair roars into life.
We're very grateful to the exhibitors for the effort and the way they have gone out to make sure that they bring the right product, despite the economic environment that we're facing.
Cash shortages continue in Zimbabwe.
Several teachers traveled long distance from their rural areas to urban areas, anticipating to get their little salaries from the bank. But unfortunately, the bank were not in a position to give them money.
And former Zifa CEO Henrietta Rushwaya in hot soup as Zifa dumps current chief executive officer.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas Jr. today held a meeting with MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai at the party's Harvest House headquarters in Harare. Ambassador Thomas told Studio 7 that the meeting is part of his efforts to engage the country's political and civil society leaders. Tsvangirai spokesperson Luke Tamborenyoka confirmed that the meeting took place and said Tsvangirai was accompanied by Party Secretary General Douglas Monzora and Secretary for Foreign Affairs Teresa Makone. Thomas Jr. tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in an exclusive interview that he is keen to engage Zimbabweans across the board.
You know, our policy is to meet with everyone, government officials. We've met with the President, Mr. Mugabe, the Environmental Minister, the Finance Minister, Reserve Bank Governor, and now we're starting to meet with the opposition. We met with Mr. Beatty, Mr. Salonga, Mr. Nube, and Mr. Dabengwa. And this is part of our rotation of normal things diplomats do, meeting everyone. Clearly, I knew Mr. Tsvangirai when he was a trade unionist and I was here before. So it was good to reconnect. But it was just to learn about what his aspirations were for his party, as well as the people of Zimbabwe.
And are you also engaging non-governmental organizations?
Maybe a month or so ago, we met with many leaders of civil society. And those were the first, before we met anyone in the opposition, we met them. And what we've asked them is to tell us what they hope for the future for Zimbabwe in terms of democracy, human rights, as well as economic opportunity, investment. So we're looking forward to hearing from them. We don't want this to be a top-down exercise. We want civil society organizations to tell the United States as well as other international actors how we can best assist them, and then we will have to make our assessment.
And talking about the issue of democracy in Zimbabwe, are you happy with what you are seeing on the ground?
Well, it's quite complex, Blessing. What we're trying to do is work with all parties, including the ruling party, to ensure that the constitution passed in 2013 is fully implemented. This is a constitution that all parties agree to. We would like to see it implemented because this is what the Zimbabwean people have said they would like. You know, recently there have been a march in support of Isai Zamora on his one-year anniversary of his disappearance that was allowed without violence, and the MDC was able to go to court, win a court order, and had a march without violence. There are comedians, as you know, plays, theater going on that are critical of all political parties. I think the question is not what we are seeing, it's what the Zimbabwean people are seeing and what they would like to see.
That was the United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Harry Thomas Jr., speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Tune in tomorrow for our in-depth interview with Ambassador Thomas Jr. as we talk to him about U.S. re-engagement with Zimbabwe, the humanitarian crisis, and targeted sanctions.
As we have said, that is a decision for our president, for our Congress. We are... And that will be dependent on economic performance and governance, human rights. And that is extremely important. There must be accountability. You can't see funding without accountability. Elimination of corruption. Those are things that we will have to weigh as we move forward.
That was United States Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Harry Thomas Jr. Remember, don't miss the longer interview here on Studio 7 tomorrow.
High Court Judge Justice Mary Zimba Dube today reserved ruling after presiding over an urgent chamber application filed by Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni seeking an order setting aside his suspension by local government minister Xavier Kasukuwere. Justice Dube reserved ruling after hearing arguments from lawyers representing Kasukuwere and the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights representing Manyenyeni. Kasukuwere suspended Manyenyeni last week, accusing him of breaching the Urban Councils Act by appointing James Mushore to the position of town clerk. But Manyenyeni's lawyer argued that Kasukuwere has no power to remove the mayor from office, as this can only be done by an independent tribunal. Harare is at the moment operating with two town clerks, Mushore and acting town clerk Josephine Ngube, appointed by Kasukuwere. MDC Secretary General Douglas Monzora tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that his party is confident the courts will rule in favor of Manyenyeni.
The matter was argued today before Justice Dube in Harare High Court, who had the arguments. The MDC is saying that the minister does not have power to suspend the mayors to determine the appointment of the town clerk. That power rests with the Harare City Council in terms of a section of the Constitution that deals with the devolution. We adopted devolution in the Constitution, and therefore the local authorities have got independence. The minister's powers, previous powers, were specifically taken away by the Constitution. That was our argument. So Justice Dube had those arguments and reserved the judgment. What that means is that she is going to write her judgment down and is going to advise us when she is ready.
Mr. Monzora, is this court process not going to drag until the next elections? Because we have seen a similar thing happening in Gweru, where the High Court ruled against Minister Kasukuwere, and he appealed to the Supreme Court, and the matter has not been set down yet.
We have learned from the Gweru case on how to make sure that we make it watertight. But the most important thing is that we are going to have a judgment soon, and we are also preparing some other court action. But we are insisting that the Harare City Council must appoint the town clerk that it did. Kasukuwere wanted himself to impose a ZANU-PF candidate. This town clerk is not a member of the MDC, but was chosen on merit.
That was MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us when we will discuss concerns raised by parents after government announced the introduction of a national pledge to be recited by schoolgoers this term.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag #TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
The 57th edition of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair kicked off in Bulawayo today with an official saying despite the prevailing economic environment, this year's exhibition is better than in previous years. Our correspondent Taurai Shaba visited the showgrounds and filed this report.
Addressing journalists at a press conference at the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair this afternoon, ZITF company chairperson Wekitemba Ngomo said he is happy with the overall show, saying the products on display are better than those exhibited in the past few years. Ngomo acknowledged that there are a few exhibition halls that are empty, noting that this was due to depressed demand. He added that the ZITF company decided to focus more on the quality of the exhibitions than the number of exhibitors.
The majority of the sections at the exhibition this year could really stand on their own anywhere in the world in terms of exhibition kind of business. So we're very proud of that, and we're very grateful to the exhibitors for the effort and the way they have gone out to make sure that they bring the right product. Despite the economic environment that we're facing, and also if you look at the products themselves that are on display, particularly the local product, there is an improvement, a significant improvement in the quality of the actual products themselves. Never mind the exhibits, but the actual products being exhibited.
Ngoma also confirmed that there has been a decrease in the number of Chinese companies whose numbers in previous years have been increasing. He attributed this to a global trend in which businesses are cutting costs. On views that the exhibition is losing its popularity and relevance, he said the ZITF is transforming itself to refocus on promoting products from the local manufacturing sector in response to demands by its clients.
What is the reason that Trade Fair was actually set up? It was set up to promote locally manufactured product. It was set up to ensure that we market our value-added product, all our beneficiated products. And just like any company in the country that is looking at themselves now, we are asking ourselves the question as ZITF that what is it that we should be doing? And we're refocusing on that manufacturing base. Yes, it's smaller than before, but we are refocusing on it as ZITF. And we are saying, let us see how best we can help the manufacturing sector.
Ngomo said there are 390 exhibitors, which is just a few more than last year's 387. Bruce Thompson, Deputy Chief Executive Officer of a South African company that manufactures bulk storage tanks, exhibiting at ZITF for the first time, said he expected to get good business as he has already received several inquiries.
We want to increase our exports from South Africa is one of the reasons. The second reason is we want to play a very big role in the water conservation throughout Africa. The show only started today, but we've already been very busy with inquiries. I expect we will get some business definitely out of it.
Several other exhibitors said they are happy to be taking part at the International Trade Showcase. A representative of a local textile printing company, Minenhle Moyo, said the Bulawayo branch of her firm has closed down because of viability problems in the face of an influx of cheap imported products. But she said the ZITF provides a company with an opportunity to let people know that they are still in business.
Having since closed our branch in Bulawayo, a lot of people thought we were no longer around and we're no longer available. Also, it's been an opportunity for us to find people from other areas and been able to tell them that, look, we're still here, this is what we're doing. So the trade fair has basically been that platform that, you know, it cuts down the legwork, so to speak. The people come to you.
The ZITF will be officially opened on Friday by Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé. President Robert Mugabe is expected to grace the official opening ceremony. The Zimbabwe International Trade Fair is one of the largest intra-regional trade fairs south of the Sahara. It is running under the theme Innovate, Integrate, Industrialize. Building on last year's focus, which was on seizing opportunities to accelerate growth, the 2016 edition goes a step further to address the critical issues of innovation, industrialization, and regional integration. The show is between today and Wednesday, open to business executives and exhibitors, with two following days set to be accessible to members of the public, including the official opening ceremony on Friday. The annual International Business Conference will be held tomorrow and a high-profile charity event, the ZITF Golf Challenge, on Thursday. The Bulawayo Agricultural Society is exhibiting various livestock and farm produce. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
Coming up,
cash shortages devastate Zimbabweans.
And a former Zifa CEO in serious trouble over alleged match-fixing allegations.
Stay tuned.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
South Sudanese rebel leader Riek Machar returned to the capital today and took the oath as the country's top vice president.
On the day he's expected to win all five states holding Republican presidential primaries, Donald Trump reached 50% support nationally from Republican or Republican-leaning voters, said NBC News Survey Monkey.
Zimbabwe has a cash crisis and banks are limiting the amount of cash that people can withdraw. That's making it difficult for locals and business owners to pay for products imported from neighboring countries or the salaries of their employees. This has been devastating for workers, including teachers who got paid today but could not access cash as banks were limiting withdrawals to $50 per client. Central Bank Governor John Mangunjga recently told Parliament that the financial services sector imported $216 million between January and April this year in a bid to ease the cash shortages. But this seems to have failed to improve the situation. Indications are that the situation could have been worsened if teachers were paid a promise bonuses today. They are not set to get the delayed bonuses at the end of this month. Some bankers say the cash crisis is due to the lack of confidence in the banking sector, which has forced local people to keep money at home. Takava Firajou of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they won't return to work if they don't get their bonuses.
Well, the day was a sad day in the capital of Zimbabwe and in the history of teaching. Several teachers traveled long distance from their rural areas to urban areas, anticipating to get their little salaries from the banks. But unfortunately, the banks were not in a position to give them money. Most of the banks were able to give $50. Those that gave much gave up to $200. So there is a whole lot of crisis. Teachers with a lot of responsibilities were expected to take money and so that they meet their various responsibilities. And this is the third chapter in the history of Zimbabwe. This is the third chapter to the Zimbabweans, and it reminds Zimbabweans of the period of 2007 and 2008 when you could not withdraw anything from the banks.
What reasons are the banks giving?
After we were told by teachers, we were able to visit some of the banks, and they were very clear that they are not getting their allocations from RBZ. And they were saying that the little that they are getting from people who are depositing is what they are sharing among their clients. So the whole essence really is a national issue, a national crisis, where a lot of people have lost confidence in the banking system and they're not putting money in the banking system. And until we resolve that crisis, this issue of shortage of money in the banks will continue. And it is unfortunate for the teachers who are anticipating that they will get the very little salary so that they can meet their responsibilities.
You were expecting your bonuses this month. Did the government manage to honor this?
Well, the government has enunciated that the bonuses would be paid on the 30th of April. But a lot of teachers now have reservations, and they were coming to our offices expressing their reservations on the basis that they had only managed to get $50 from the banks, which is an indicator that nationally we may be having a crisis in terms of money. But we are hopeful that the government will do the most reasonable thing come the 30th of April by putting money so that the teachers would get their bonuses. Because the teachers were very clear in terms of what they told us as a union, that they don't expect to open schools on the 3rd of May if they have not yet got their bonus, because this will be tantamount to discrimination, because a lot of other professions, such as police force and others, have managed to get their bonuses. And the teachers feel that they are also Zimbabwean citizens, and they must also be respected by their government. And so we hope that the government or those in power will respect the teachers given their responsibilities in terms of guarding against the practice of ignorance. And we hope that the teachers will be respected, the bonus will be paid, and so that the school will open smoothly on the 3rd of May.
That was Takaba Firajo of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
Nearly 1,000 people are expected to attend a prayer meeting tomorrow to voice their opposition to the proposed national pledge to be introduced in schools next week. Stakeholders, including residents and concerned parents, will meet at the Presbyterian Church in Bulawayo. Reverend Useni Sibanda tells Studio 7 Tatenda Gumbo the national pledge should be dumped.
We are praying for the national pledge to be scrapped off, but we have also decided to pray for the education system in Zimbabwe. We are also praying about the issue that thousands of children will not have school fees. So I want to pray for God to provide for all this.
How has the response been, Reverend Sibanda, since your stakeholders meeting on Friday and then coming up to today?
It's massive. We have such a massive support across this, all sectors. We have never seen Zimbabweans united like this. If you look at the social media, whether it's Facebook, WhatsApp, and people on the streets, they are so excited, and they were happy that the church could take the lead on this thing. And it's very clear that people are saying if government does not consult them on important public policies, they will not accept it. But also the second issue, it's clear that people will not accept anything that is not constitutional. People are actually arguing from the constitution. So it's quite exciting that Zimbabweans have got to that level where they know their rights and they can protect them.
And what is the basis, as people are saying, that this move will be unconstitutional?
Section 6, which is under Chapter 4, in terms of respect for human rights, the basic human rights, it says that no person should be forced to take an oath by anyone, including the government or the state.
And that was Useni Sibanda, spokesman of the Christian Alliance of Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. And as usual, remember, tomorrow we are going to air the Youth Forum. It's time to engage.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard. And let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Tungamili Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us when we will discuss concerns raised by parents after government announced the introduction of a national pledge to be recited by schoolgoers this term.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
And in sports news, the former Zifa chief executive officer and ZANU-PF activist Henrietta Rushwaya has been granted a $100 bail on charges of attempting to fix soccer matches in Zimbabwe. Our reporter Michael Cariati has more from Harare.
Rushwaya, who appeared at the Harare magistrate's courts on charges of allegedly being the chief architect of a match-fixing ring involving an Asian betting syndicate, Zimbabwean and South African players and coaches pleaded not guilty to the charges. Rushwaya is accused of trying to fix the Warriors' 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Swaziland, where Zimbabwe drew and won the other convincingly 4-0. She was arrested by police last night following a complaint made by Zifa and subsequent police investigations. Zifa President Philip Chiangwa told Studio 7 that he's not going to comment on the outcome of Rushwaya's court appearance, but revealed that his board would be meeting sometime today to deliberate on the matter. At the same time, Zifa says it has parted ways with Chief Executive Officer Oro Secretary General Jonathan Mashinga-Idze, who has been put on early retirement. In a statement, Zifa President Philip Chiangwa said this decision was made by the Zifa board, which met today in Harare. Chief Operations Officer Joseph Mamutse has assumed the role of Acting General Secretary with immediate effect. Meanwhile, the Mashonaland Turf Club have released the horses for Zimbabwe's biggest horse racing event, the Castle Tankard, but surprisingly, there is only one Zimbabwean horse in the 14-horse lineup. Most of the horses in Zimbabwe's biggest horse racing event are being imported from South Africa, with another coming from Singapore, as Zimbabwe's own horses do not meet the standards of participating in Grade 1 races due to a combination of factors. The chairman of the Mashonaland Turf Club, Christopher Peach, says Zimbabwe no longer is up to standard horses, as most of the country's top horse breeders were removed off their farms during the land redistribution program, and those who took over the farms know nothing about horse breeding.
What has been happening to Mashonaland Turf Club racing of recent years is that most of our horses running around this track here are born and bred in South Africa. That did not used to be the case. We used to have a very powerful breeding industry in Zimbabwe, and that breeding industry took 60 or 70 years to produce, and it produced some great winners and some great horses over the years. But unfortunately, with declining fortunes of breeders, larger partly due to the fact that many breeding farmers are no longer on the land, and partly due to other declining issues within the economy, our breeders are not as strong as they used to be.
Peach says it will not be easy, but will take at least about 20 years to restore Zimbabwe to the good old days when the country had some of the best horses in Africa and in the world. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The United States ambassador to Zimbabwe holds a meeting with MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai.
The Zimbabwe International Trade Fair kicks off in Bulawayo.
Cash shortages continue in Zimbabwe.
And former Zifa CEO Henrietta Rushwaya in hot soup as Zifa dumps current chief executive officer.
And that's our broadcast this evening.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number, 001-202-465-0318.
And don't forget to join us tonight at Live Talk, where we have the Youth Connection with host Tungamili Nkomo Entertainer Gumbo, and they will be talking to listeners and experts about Zimbabwe's national pledge to be recited at schools.
That's it for tonight. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. Good night.
I'm Marvelous Mplanganya. We are wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.